In early 20th century New York City, poison was the perfect murder weapon. With no scientific oversight, killers using arsenic, cyanide, or chloroform operated with virtual impunity. Death certificates listed vague causes like visitation by God or simply stopped breathing. The coroner system was a political patronage machine where appointments went to loyal party supporters rather than qualified professionals. Coroners like Patrick Riorst routinely appeared drunk at crime scenes and sold falsified death certificates for $5 to $20 each. The system's spectacular failure was illustrated by the case of Frederick Moores, who confessed to murdering 8 elderly people with chloroform but escaped charges because coroners incorrectly claimed the poison couldn't be detected in exhumed bodies. This changed in 1918 when Charles Norris became New York's first scientifically trained medical examiner. Despite constant political interference and budget battles, Norris recruited Alexander Gettler, a brilliant chemist and son of Hungarian immigrants, as his toxicologist. Together, they built America's first modern forensic laboratory, determined to use science to speak for the dead when no one else could. When Prohibition began in 1920, it unleashed a wave of death. Speakeasies flourished while police chemists discovered alarming contaminants in underground liquor, industrial alcohol, kerosene, mercury, and disinfectants. In poor neighborhoods, deadly smoke, pure methyl alcohol, sold for 15 cents a glass, causing multiple daily deaths. The science was gruesome. Unlike ethyl alcohol in traditional spirits, methyl alcohol metabolized into formaldehyde, then formic acid, causing catastrophic damage. First blindness from optic nerve destruction, before progressing to fatal organ failure. The federal government deliberately added increasingly lethal poisons to industrial alcohol supplies, knowing bootleggers would redistribute it. When confronted about deaths, Wayne Wheeler, head of Prohibition Enforcement, remained unmoved. The government is under no obligation to furnish people with alcohol that is drinkable when the Constitution prohibits it. By 1927, Norris documented 1,200 poisonings causing 400 deaths in New York City alone, just a fraction of the national toll. Prohibition's noble experiment had devolved into what Norris termed our national experiment in extermination. In 1928, Gettler tested the remains of Amelia Maggia, a former dial painter who had died 5 years earlier. Her bones remained intensely radioactive, exposing photographic film through paper wrapping. The Radium Girls tragedy began when young women were hired to paint luminous watch dials with radium-based paint. Their employers instructed them to point their brushes with their lips, causing them to ingest radium. The company insisted the paint was harmless, while executives avoided ingestion themselves. By the mid-1920s, the dial painters suffered horrific deaths, disintegrating jaws, spontaneous bone fractures, and devastating blood diseases. When 5 women sued U.S. Radium Corporation, the company employed a classic toxic tort defense: deny, delay, and discredit the science. Martlin discovered the women exhaled radon gas, proving radium had deposited in their bones like calcium with a 1,600-year half-life. In court, they connected a Geiger counter to loudspeakers, amplifying the bones' radioactive crackle for jurors, finally forcing U.S. Radium to settle. While industrial poisons claimed thousands of lives, deliberate poisonings tested Norris and Gettler's expertise. The 1922 Jackson case at Brooklyn's Hotel Margaret exemplified this challenge when an elderly couple was found dead with bluish faces and bloody froth, initially suggesting cyanide poisoning. Cyanides had a dark history, occurring naturally in cherry laurel and bitter almonds. Ancient Egyptians called it death by peach. During industrialization, cyanide compounds became valuable in photography, metal polishing, and pest control, despite their extreme toxicity. Gettler found no typical cyanide damage in the Jackson's tissues. Investigators discovered the hotel had secretly fumigated with hydrogen cyanide gas that seeped upward through water pipes. Despite this evidence, defense attorneys successfully attacked Gettler's credibility, and the defendants were acquitted. This defeat motivated Gettler to perfect his detection methods. He discovered that chilling his meat grinder preserved more cyanide during tissue preparation and proved cyanide persisted in decomposing tissue. His 1938 paper, The Toxicology of Cyanide, remained a reference into the 21st century. In 1920s America, carbon monoxide became a leading cause of death as automobiles proliferated. This invisible, odorless gas forms during incomplete combustion when carbon bonds with just one oxygen atom. It emanated from kilns, furnaces, heaters, gas lighting, and especially automobile tailpipes, which contained up to 25% carbon monoxide. Charles Norris estimated CO killed nearly 1,000 New Yorkers yearly, 618 accidents, 388 suicides, and 3 homicides in 1925 alone. A Model T could generate enough carbon monoxide to make a closed garage lethal within minutes. Carbon monoxide kills by binding to hemoglobin 200 times stronger than oxygen, causing chemical suffocation. Symptoms include drowsiness, headaches, dizziness, confusion, and nausea, often mistaken for intoxication. Gettler identified poisoning during autopsy by distinctive markers: cherry red blood, rose-colored skin, and blood-streaked brain. Murderers frequently exploited carbon monoxide, typically blaming deaths on faulty heaters or gas valves. In 1933, struggling businessmen used gas lamp fumes to kill a homeless alcoholic named Michael Malloy for insurance money. Despite prohibition's deadly consequences, Gettler considered ethyl alcohol the most important poison for medical and legal professionals, causing more deaths than any other substance. Metropolitan Life reported alcoholism deaths among policyholders had increased 600% since 1920. Gettler found alcohol chemically fascinating, a paradox where life's basic elements created potentially deadly substances. Unlike methyl alcohol, which broke down into toxic formaldehyde and formic acid, ethyl alcohol dissolved into relatively harmless compounds. Over 5 years, Gettler and his assistant analyzed some 6,000 brains in a gruesomely tedious process. He established that normal brain tissue naturally contains traces of ethyl alcohol, about 0.002% from metabolism, providing a crucial baseline. Gettler's scale indicated intoxication with plus signs, plus for a minimal impairment, below 0.1%, plus plus for slight inebriation, 0.1 to 0.25%, plus plus for obvious drunkenness, 0.25 to 0.4%, and plus plus for fatal poisoning, 0.4 to 0.6%. Working with Freyreich, Gettler demonstrated through dog experiments that habitual drinkers metabolize alcohol more efficiently, though all subjects became intoxicated once brain alcohol exceeded 0.25%. Charles Norris died of heart failure in 1935 at 67. Alexander Gettler continued as chief toxicologist until 1959, retiring at 75 after analyzing some 100,000 bodies. Together, they transformed forensic science from a corrupt political system into a rigorous scientific discipline. Their impact extended beyond murder cases. Their research into industrial poisons established workplace safety standards, while their investigations into carbon monoxide from automobiles and cigarettes advanced understanding of environmental hazards. Their documentation of alcohol's effects created scientific standards for determining intoxication that revolutionized medicine and law enforcement. As they perfected methods for detecting traditional poisons, industrial innovation introduced hundreds of new toxic compounds. Yet their methodical approach, documenting symptoms, developing reliable tests, establishing lethal thresholds, created a framework still used today. By Prohibition's end in 1933, Norris and Gettler had changed the poison game, transforming poison from the perfect crime to the perfect evidence, a silent witness revealing truth about death and giving voice to victims.